All right, let's be upstanding as we read a few verses here, and we'll take our meditation out of this passage. Joshua chapter 5, and follow with me, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Let's go to verse 8. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they have eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We ask you now that you'd help us as we look into your word. Father, we pray that you would illuminate our hearts. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us clearly from your word. Give us clear instructions to our lives. Help us to be more like Christ, and we just look to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to bring you a few thoughts tonight of some things that the Lord has shown me in my life and through many circumstances that I have had to go through, but some lessons that I have learned, and I find this passage so appropriate in bringing out some of these truths. Now, has there been a time in your life where you felt like you were not advancing? It felt like that things were stagnant, you weren't going forward, things don't seem to be working out at that stage. You can see the blessing of God, you can see the potential, you can see God can truly bless, but you it just seems to be an arm's length away, and you just can't grab it, you can't harness it, and it's not upon you. And you wonder, Lord, why is it? What's causing this? Why am I in this state? Am I not receiving the blessing that you have for me? Why is it that I feel like I'm just stagnant and nothing is going on? And it's probably, this is a similar question that the children of Israel had asked when they came to this portion of Scripture. They had just conquered the kings on the other side of the Jordan, and those kings were defeated. And the land was subdued, and some of the tribes took hold of that. And then they would cross the Jordan River. You know the story that at this time the priests had to carry the ark, and as they put their feet into the water, now the water parted, and they came through on solid, dry ground. What an amazing God that we read of in the Bible. Amen. These things that we read and we think, wow, if only I had been there just to see that happen, how the waters would just part. And you know what? He is the same God. He is the same God that parts the rivers, can do great work even in our life today. And so they come through. You can imagine with me the great victory, the buzz, that the people were almost on a high, seeing the victories that conquered the two kings before. The Jordan River opening up before them, they cross over in dry land. The promise of them receiving this land that God had given to Abraham and to their forefathers now is being fulfilled before their eyes. And what great victory and what a high they may have been on. And they come, and as they get before the city of Jericho, things change. Things change. God kind of almost changes the program, changes the gears, comes down a little bit and says, all right, we're going to park here for a little while. And you can imagine here people thinking, well, what's going on? Moses. We thought we're ready to go in. We're ready. We can see it. We can see Jericho. We can see the promised land. We can see it all before us. Why are we camped? Why are we still here? Why aren't we moving on? And it's probably some questions we ask sometimes. Lord, you've given us, you brought us this far. We see it. We can see the potential. We can see the blessing. It's just there. But why are we parked? Why are we staying here for a little while? And God had to do some things with the children of Israel before they would go in and conquer the land. Before they would go in and conquer Jericho, which was their first big city, God had to do something in their hearts and in their lives. Firstly, we see that God instructs Joshua that they would go make some sharp knives to go and circumcise the people once again. Now, that would not have been a fun time, I can tell you that. You know, God had to deal with them in keeping a covenant. You remember he gave the covenant to Abraham, and it was an external sign that they belonged to God, that God made him a promise that all this land that you will see before you, I will give to you and to your seed, and I will make your seed as the sand upon the seashore. God made a promise to Abraham, and this was an external evidence of that covenant. And so the children of Israel, as they came out of Egypt and they wandered through the wilderness, and remember, they were disobedient and they doubted the Lord, and so the Lord had to wait till they passed away. All that generation had to die in the wilderness. And as the young ones were coming through, you know what happened? They weren't being circumcised. The outward covenant, that appearance of that covenant, they were not maintaining that. And you know, the purpose of this covenant is that to establish, to show the children of Israel that God is your portion, that the Lord is your portion. Our God is our portion. And so we find that he stops them there and says, you need to go back and circumcise the people the second time round. I want the people to understand that I am their portion, that I am, this is the fulfillment of a covenant that I had given to them. I want them to understand that it is because of me, it is because of my great power, it is because of me that they have this land. I have made that promise, and I'm going to fulfill that promise to them. God was their portion. And can I tell you today that though we look at circumcision in the Old Testament as an outward sign, yet Colossians chapter 2 verse 11 tells us that this circumcision is of Christ, and it's a circumcision of the heart, putting off the flesh of sin. And so I think sometimes God puts us at a place and parks us for a little while because he needs to show us that he is our portion, and he needs to deal with something in our life. You know what? Maybe God has you today wanting to speak to you, wanting to communicate with you through the preaching of God's word, through your reading of the Bible, that there is something in your life you need to deal with. There's something today, that a sin or a habit or some weight that you are practicing, that God says, you know, before I let you go into this time of blessing, I need you to deal with that. I need you to deal with this particular sin, because I want you to understand that I am the one who's going to do this work. I want you to deal with this matter. It might be pride, to bring you down to the point that he is our portion, that he is the one who's going to do this work. It's not of us. You know, many times we are very excited about the potential of what is happening, that we get carried away with our abilities and what we think we can do, that we forget that God has to be the center of it. And it was this time that God took to refocus them, to say, no, this is not about you. This is all about me fulfilling that covenant. It's about me. And you know, the church of Jesus Christ today is all about him. It is all about him. It is not about you sitting in the pew, what a great church member you are. And it's not about what a great pastor that you would have. And thank God that we have good church members and we have good pastors. But let me tell you, church is not about us. Church is about him. Church is about magnifying Christ, exalting him in our midst. that we would exalt him whenever we come. That's why we come and we sing praises to his name. It's not a matter of ritual singing that, you know, we grab hands and we hum and we sing, but we're here to magnify the name of Christ because it is all about him. Christ is our portion. He is the one who has redeemed us, amen? He's the one who has brought us into his fold. We are his. He's chosen us. And, you know, we ought to magnify him and praise him in our life. We need to make sure that our life is centered around him and that not he is centered around us. I want to ask you this question. If what choices you make at home or you make at work and or whatever career you choose, have you decided that Christ is magnified in your life? You know, some of us think that, you know, I'm a Christian, but I do that on Sundays. And we kind of park it there a little while and we relive our life the rest of the week and we do the choices, we live the choices that we have and whatever we want to do, we do, and then we put on back the Sunday clothes and we're Christians again. You see, Christianity is not something I do. Christianity is what I am. I am a born-again Christian. Christ, the Lord Jesus, has redeemed me and made me his child. I am his. I'm no longer mine. I am his. He is my portion. And so we need to understand that we ought to live Christ in our life every day. We need to demonstrate him in our life all the time. This is not something that we just do on a certain time of the week or on a certain day, but we ought to live as Christians. I often tell people, I'm a businessman, but firstly, I am a Christian. I am a Christian that is a businessman. I'm not a businessman that is a Christian. You understand the difference? And this is how we've got to get it in our minds. When we know Christ as our Savior, he is everything to us. He is our fulfiller. He is our portion. And, you know, the children of Israel, God, the Lord said to them, I will call this place Gilgal because I have rolled away your reproach. I have rolled away your reproach. And isn't that wonderful what Jesus did for you and I when he saved us? He took away our sin. Colossians chapter 2 says, he has removed the ordinances that were written against us. You know, all the things that the devil was writing saying, guilty, guilty, damned, guilty. The Lord Jesus, by his blood, removed all that away and has given us a clean slate. We belong to him and he is our portion tonight. We need to understand that it is he who needs to be magnified. He is the one who is going to satisfy and he is the one who is going to fulfill anything in our life. He is our portion. And so the children of Israel had to be reminded of that fact. They had to be reminded that it is because of the Lord. And that this is what they are going into this promised land, is the fulfillment of his promise. This is not because they were good people or they're nice people, that God has been good to them, and this is nothing of good luck. This is God's providential care upon them that they are coming through. This is the fulfillment of God's covenant. It's a fulfillment of a promise. And aren't you glad that God keeps his promises? He keeps his promises. You and I may make a promise, but we can certainly break the promise, can't we? How many of you men have broken a promise to your wives? Yeah. How many of you dads have broken a promise to your children? Yeah. And we're trying to make up for it, but can I tell you, God never breaks his promise. God gives you a promise, and he sticks to his word. Now, it might take him time in our eyes for him to fulfill it, but he always fulfills his promise. He always fulfills his promise. And we need to believe that our God is a great God. And he promises us eternity. That's his promise to you and me. He's given us salvation through Christ, has given us an eternal home. That's his promise to you and me. And one day he will fulfill that promise. And maybe I might go to the grave and I'll see him then face to face. Or he might catch us up in the air and we'll see him there and be with him forevermore. But that is the promise of God to you and me. And let me tell you, my friends, as sure as you see me and I see you, one day we will see the Lord. That is his promise to us. He is our portion. Amen? He is our portion. Secondly, he wanted them to keep the Passover. He wanted them to keep the Passover. And keeping the Passover, he wanted them to know that he is their deliverer, and he is their protector. He is their deliverer, and he is their protector. You understand, when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, he brought all these plagues upon the children of Egypt there, and you know the curses that came. And the last one was the angel of death was going to come through and kill the firstborn of cattle, of man, right, of beast. And they were instructed that they were to bring a lamb and get the family together, those, you know, get into the house, be ready, get dressed with your shoes on, and kill that lamb and eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And they were supposed to put the blood of that lamb on the doorposts of their homes. And as they were eating that and getting ready, the angel of death came through. And if he saw the blood on that doorpost, he passed over them. And by a great mighty hand, God delivered them out of Egypt. If to the point that the Egyptians wanted them to get out. I mean, they said, here, take our gold, get whatever provisions you want, just leave us, just go. And God took them out with a great delivery and made them remember that it was him who did that great work. And that's why he told Moses, he said, you will tell the children of Israel on that 14th day that you will practice the Passover. You will remember how the Lord brought you out of Egypt with a great hand, how you you were dressed and ready to go because God was doing that work to deliver you. And truly, God did a great work. But it seems that through the time of the wilderness, as they were there for 40 years, that practice had stopped. Amos chapter 5, verse 25, the Lord says to them, did you really keep the sacrifices for me in the wilderness? It gives us the indication that they may have become slack in that practice, in keeping the Passover. Remembering that it is God who is doing that work may have been, you know, not as important in their agenda as they were walking around in the wilderness. And so the Lord said, look, before you come into this promised land, I want to remind you one more time that I am the one who protected you and delivered you. I am the one who brought you this far. And I think, you know, the Lord needs sometimes to put us aside and before we enter into that time of great blessing to remind us that the work is all because of him. That he is our protector and he is our deliverer. Your deliverance comes from the Lord. We sometimes look for deliverance everywhere else and we look inside of us and we look external to us, but deliverance is of the Lord. And that's what he wanted to remind them, reinstitute that Passover for them to practice it, to remember, listen, you're going to come into great blessing, but before you do that, you need to remember that it is me who's brought you this far. I like what Paul said, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. You know, when I look back to my life and I see there's been ups and downs and there have been some, you know, hard turns but at the end of it, I say it is God's grace that brought me to where I am today. What I am today is because of God's hand leading me all the way to this point. You know, we left Lebanon in 1977 due to a civil war and came as a little boy and didn't know what was going on. But I see God's providential care over my life. Had we not come to this country, I would have never heard the gospel. My family would not have been saved. And I thank God for even those trials and those times of great fear and distress that God pushed us out of that land and brought us here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and give us a good life that we have here in this great country of Australia. You see, God's providential care is upon us. You know, when you look back in your life, you can, if you truly mark out your life and you got to say, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. Yes, I've had my ups and I've had my downs. I've had my mountain experiences. I've had my valleys. But God has been good to me. He's been my deliverer. He's been my portion. He's been my protector. You see, God wanted them to understand that when we come into this time of great blessing, it wasn't because of who they were, but it was because of who he is and what great work he's doing in their life. And I think God needs to remind us, folks, today that it is him who does that good work in us. It is him who does that good work in us. It's not because we've been very clever, but it's because of his providential care and protection over us. We are where we are today. And so the children of Israel had to be reminded that God was their portion and that God was their protector and provider. And thirdly, we find that the Lord then said to them, you know what? All the way through the wilderness and before that, I provided for you. I gave you the onion and the leeks and the garlic that you enjoyed in Egypt. And then when you came out into the wilderness, I fed you also with manna and with quails. Did you not? They complained. You know, they said, well, you're Moses, what have you brought us out here for? He brought us here to kill us only if we were back in Egypt and we enjoyed the garlic. You know, you got to see that they had some Arab blood in them as well, didn't they? I mean, like, they enjoyed the garlic. And so they wanted the garlic and they wanted the onions and the leeks, and that's all they thought about, how good they had it back there. You know, sometimes we make the same mistake. Sometimes we make the same mistake. You know, we look at them, we laugh at them, you know, they wanted the garlic. It wasn't about the garlic. They were thinking and reminiscing of how good they had it. Many times, you know what we do as Christians, we live in the past of how good we had it. And we begin to complain and to bicker to the Lord how things are different to us today. Lord, my life is not the same as what it was before. I used to have it good. Why isn't it as good as what it used to be? Lord, my life before I had children was great. But when I had my kids, I don't have sleep anymore. I don't have money in my pockets anymore. I don't have time for myself anymore. And we seem to think, Lord, it was great back then. And we want that. And all we're thinking is about ourselves. But God was a great God. He understood their needs, did he not? You know, they were thirsty in the wilderness. Moses had to speak to a rock and water gushed out. And that quenched their thirst. There was another time where they were by the pools of Marah that the tree had to be put down and became sweet and they can drink it. You understand all these pictures that the Lord is giving us through the Old Testament of that great, wonderful, great Savior who is the one who quenches our thirst. He's the living water. You know, the second time Moses was supposed to speak to the rock and he struck the rock and you broke that tie. You know, the first time he had to hit the rock, the second time he had to speak to the rock, but Moses hit it again, he broke that top. Christ was only to be smitten once, not twice. And so we see the Lord being their provider in through the wilderness. Now I want you to see something quite remarkable when you get to this text. We'll just read it and we'll glance over it. But the children of Israel have just now come into the promised land. And verse 1, what we read in our text, that the people that were on that side of the Jordan, having heard of what had happened on the other side and how that the Jordan was parted, the scripture says that their hearts melted. Their hearts melted. They escaped and left everything behind and sought refuge inside the walls of Jericho. And so here the children of Israel come in now just before Jericho and there is now abundance of food supply stored up. Now, I want you to think about this. The Lord knew the time when the children of Israel would be coming into the promised land. He would have allowed those heathens to work and labor and plant and sow and get an abundance of harvest and store it up. And they were probably thinking, what a great year we had. Great prosperity, great harvest. We got so much in abundance. You know, it's an amazing year that we had. All that God was doing in preparing for them as they come in. God was working ahead. Aren't you grateful that God works ahead? His favor is upon us. He works ahead. Oh, sometimes we sit there and we wait, oh, if only we had what we had before. But God is working ahead. God is preparing something great and good for us. And so he prepared this harvest for them that was stored, and that's why it's called the old corn. It was stored in their barns. And they came into that land now, and scripture says they ate of the corn of the land. Read with me, what does it say? And the next day, what happened to the manna? What does it say? The manna ceased. The manna ceased. God, through his providential care, provided for them when they were in Egypt, gave them what they needed in Egypt, gave them what they needed in the wilderness. It was different. It was no longer the garlic and the leeks and the onions. Now he has given them manna and quails. And now they've come into the promised land and God changes the provision again, but now gives them the corn of the land. I want you to understand something here. Many of these people that came in, you know, they probably had no idea about agriculture in planting and sowing. All their life, they were every morning, what did they do? They took their little buckets, the little tubs, and they went out there and they picked the manna out of the ground and came back and worked it and baked it and made food out of it. And the quails came and they killed them and they barbecued them or they boiled them or whatever, however you would like it. And they ate every day. That happened every day. But now they've come into the land where that's not going to happen anymore. Now God says, I'm going to still provide for you, but it's going to be through a different way. You're going to have to learn how to sow the seed, plow the ground, sow the seed, water it, and then get a harvest. You see, God always provides. God always provides. It may not be in the same way that you thought He needs to provide. Amen? It may not be in the same way that you thought He should provide. You see, they had no idea. These young people that would have just grown up in the wilderness, they have never done this practice. They were moving around all the time. That now they've gone into a land where God says to them, look, the manna is going to cease right now. There's no more manna. And you might have been in your life where you have had the provision of God upon you through manna and maybe through the quails, and God is bringing about a turn of change in your life. The manna is going to stop, but God has something else provided. God has the corn of the land ready for you. I don't know what God is doing in your life or what change He's bringing, but don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of change. When the Lord brings change, not for the sake of change. It's not like, where you think, boy, I've been doing this job for such a long time, it's time for a change. I've been living in this place for such a long time, it'd be good to go somewhere else and have a change. God does not bring about change because it's time to have a change. God brings about change because He wants to do something in your life. And we need to trust Him that He is our provider. God, You provided for me here, and I was without lack. God, You provided for me when I was here in a miraculous way, and I was without lack. Lord, You bring about something different again in my life, and now I'm in here. It's not the same as what it was there. It might be a little bit harder because I've got to do a bit more work over here, but God, You're still going to provide. You're still going to provide. Understand this, that the Lord did not bring them into the land and cease the manna without having something else already prepared for them. Right? Without having something else prepared for them. And the Lord is not going to take you somewhere where He has not already prepared it for you. He's got it ready for you. You just have to trust Him that He will provide. Amen. He will give. Our God is not going to hold His hand back from His children. He will give if we believe in Him and we step out by faith. God might be bringing about a change in your life. Don't resist what God is doing. Don't complain and whine about it like how the children of Israel did. They were like, well, I don't like it. This is different. We none of us like change, do we? I mean, one thing I know, I understand in the business world is change management. I mean, if you're going to change something, man, you just got to be careful how you do it. If we always clicked on this button to get something done, now we have to click this button to get it done. It's like the end of the world. It's like, why do we have to change? This button always worked. Why do we have to click this button now? Yeah, people don't like change. You try to bring about some change in the church. Well, it'll be like you'll have World War II, World War III on your hands. Why do we have to? Listen, if God is bringing about change to grow us, to do something great in us, we ought to embrace it and say, Lord, thank You for it. Lord, as You have provided in the past, You will provide today and You will continue to provide for us. The Lord had to have the children of Israel in a place before they entered into a great blessing. Maybe the Lord has you somewhere today, just waiting to teach you some lessons. Maybe he just wants, before he takes you the time of blessing, he wants you to recognize that he is your portion tonight. He is your portion. Maybe tonight he wants you to understand he is your protector and deliverer. He is the one who sustains you all the way. Maybe tonight the Lord is showing you that change is on the horizon, change is on the books. But let me tell you, don't be afraid of what I'm going to do in your life, how things are going to change. Just like how I provided for you in the past, I will continue to provide for you today. And then we see the children of Israel rising up and going in and conquering that land. God doing a great work on their behalf, having understood that it is He who will do the work, having understood that it is He who is going to bring the deliverance, having understood that He is our portion, and He is the one who will be recognized for doing this work. God does a great miracle in bringing down the walls of Jericho. You understand how big those walls were? I mean, people lived in them as houses. That's where Rahab was. She lived in the wall. And she had a window outside, and that's where they escaped. The spies escaped from it. It was said that the walls of Jericho were so wide that you can have two chariots walk, you know, side by side on there. And so if you thought by any human way of bringing those walls down, firing a cannon, which they didn't have, tackling the walls, which would have been an impossible thing. That's why they were so fortified and they thought they were secure. But God did that great work, did He not, on that seventh day? It was unusual warfare, was it not? Who goes to battle and just shouts out, gives a shout? Who does that? And then the walls come down. See, that's God doing His work. God being God and blessing His people who trust Him and believe in Him. The Lord is able to do it exceedingly above what we can imagine or think in and through us, only if we just rest in Him and deal with some things that He's telling us to do. There might be some sin. There might be some weight. There might be something in your life that is hindering you from moving on. God wants to move you into that next phase of blessing, but He wants to deal with you. There might be some disobedience in your life. Deal with it today. Deal with it before the Lord. Confess it and just turn away from it and let God lead you into great victory and to great blessing. Remember, He is your protector and your deliverer, and He is your provider. Let's just trust in Him, and He's able to do this great work. Lord bless you. I hope that's been helpful to you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.